Rice is one of the world's staple foods and one of the most widely eaten, especially in Asia. The UN reports that rice is the agricultural commodity with the third highest worldwide production. But for all of Wisconsin's agricultural prowess, rice has not been a crop produced here. Well, at least not until now.
As part of our Full Plate series on agriculture, Lake Effect Susan Benz takes us to an acre plot in rural Ozaukee County, where a Marquette University scientist by the name of Michael Schlappe, along with several students and among immigrant farmers from Laos, are taking the next step in Wisconsin's rice production.
Marquette student Kristen Stannis appears both bewildered and amazed as she looks at the evolving rice paddy on what was formerly a cornfield outside the city of Mequon. A tractor moves back and forth through the field, leveling the land, while a cluster of women, wide hats protecting their faces from an intense midday sun, deftly plunk clusters of seedlings into the mud.
I started in, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Great.
And we've just been planting today, just going through the motions of planting, and I guess I'm more learning about rice farming, what it takes, what we're putting in, all the efforts that we're doing. And
Stannis is a biomedical sciences student interested in business who was invited to come aboard as a project intern.
As the process moves forward, I would say just evaluating just all of our expenses, all of our cash flows, and developing it into a business model for what we're doing here.
Stannis's boss, scientist Michael Schlappe, says he was able to bring on interns, pay them, and buy some basic equipment thanks to an innovation grant from the university. Schlappe experimented with rice varieties from around the globe for 5 years, testing how they stood up to Wisconsin weather in miniature paddies he built on his lab rooftop on campus. He settled on a short grain variety from Russia. 2 years ago, he took the experiment to a farm field outside Port Washington. A story we produced on the experiment made its way as far as Vermont, where it reached the ears of a rice farmer named Eric Andrus, who today is on a tractor in this field, breaking up soil as Schlappe watches.
He sold me this machine.
The 3-horsepower mechanical transplanter manufactured in China, Schlappe is standing next to.
So we have a relationship. He's kind of my consultant. But around the same time as I got interested in this, he got interested through a workshop that he learned from a Japanese farmer in Vermont. He's actually doing it commercially now in Vermont. But he heard me 2 years ago. That's how he made the contact. Wow. And I think this would not be at this stage, because 2 years ago he asked me, what's next? Because he looked at the small paddies at the Fondy farm in Port Washington, remember? And we were, I mean, they were small, right? It was just more like, see if this can work in Wisconsin. But this is actually production size. So this is commercial production. This is intended for commercial production. And I could only do it with the grant from Marquette to involve the undergrads, like my interns here just talked to. I have several biology interns as well who work on this. You know, and I try to pay them well so they're happy and hopefully stay with me for the duration of this grant.
Vermonter Eric Andrus climbs off the tractor for a sec. He grows rice on 5.3 acres back at home,
which is small by most any standard, but we're hoping for better than 10,000 pounds of rice sales this year. So that goes a long way towards constructing my annual income. Eventually, I'd like to expand to maybe about 10 or 15 acres, but probably not beyond that.
Like Schlappe, Andrus hopes to inspire others because he says there's no way he can personally scratch the surface of the demand for high-quality rice.
Michael and I have been corresponding for a while, so we've been sort of working up to this moment. And I also have a personal connection to Wisconsin because I attended high school and graduated from Whitefish Bay.
Did you?
So yeah. It's a sort of my old haunts here, and now I'm coming back here to plant rice. So it's like, my goal is to plant rice coast to coast. It's like so funny.
Andrus has experience in working with farmers who know far more about rice growing than he.
In Vermont, we have a Nepali refugee community, and those people are also very passionate about rice. So I have had those folk doing work sometimes on my farm. I've attended rice events where they also attend. So there's a little bit of cross-pollination all around, and they're from Southeast Asia, not Central Asia, but a lot of the atmosphere is very similar. My hope is that we can all kind of develop this together. with some ideas imported from overseas, some developed locally, and some brought in from, you know, the cultures that these people have brought with them.
Here in Wisconsin, Michael Schlappi says fruitful partnerships have helped him get this far. When he first ventured out to Port Washington, he used a bit of land managed by Fondi Market, a long-standing enterprise in the heart of Milwaukee. Fondi Executive Director Jennifer Casey has formed a relationship with Mequon Nature Preserve, where Fondi is farming space in the preserve's northwest corner.
20 acres here, and we would love to expand. We could not meet the demand for the amount that we had 33 farmers that wanted to farm on site with us this year, just word of mouth.
So remind me what the arrangement is.
We rent the land. Fondi Food Center rents the land from Mequon Nature Preserve. Yep, and at Port Washington. Mm-hmm. We, in turn, rent out the actual land, parcels of land. Maybe it's a half acre or an acre to a farm family. And they also, in addition to paying for rent for the land, have access to our tractors. We do all of the tilling in the spring and then again in the fall. Our farm director, Stephen, is probably the most important resource that they have access to. And so he's on site a couple of days a week to help troubleshoot, make sure that the equipment is working correctly or if any training needs to happen. So we offer a suite of resources. Of course, we're looking at getting irrigation up and running for the entire farm this year.
The Mequon site is a mere 13 miles from the market, far closer and more convenient for Fondi farmers. Casey says she's on the lookout for more affordable land small farmers can count on one year to the next. She says the Fondi Farm's original purpose was to ensure farmers at the market had access to quality land on which to grow. She sees the Rice Project fitting into their mission.
I've talked to several of the farmers here today who have not planted rice or worked in a rice field for 20 years. And everyone that I've talked to is enjoying themselves, including these young men. You should definitely talk to them, Susan. I mean, I think that they could better tell you in your own words, but of course many of these ladies were growing rice in Laos before they had to become refugees and before they came to this country, before they fled to this country. And we had an outpouring of interest at the rice trial plot at the Port Washington farm. Pi, in the red there, she's experimenting with her own test plot with rice that she brought back from her sister who grows down south. But the cultural significance, I mean, rice is found in not just cuisine, but art and folk stories of the Hmong culture, the Hmong people. It's an important food. Obviously, there's the tying the community together because harvesting and planting is a communal process.
Pai and her fellow farmers are knee-deep in mud and too busy planting to pay me any attention. Chu Sang Vang and his two brothers stand at the sidelines, passing the women flats of seedlings or smoothing the soggy earth when directed to do so. Vang's parents are farmers, but they're not here today.
So what do you think of it?
This process.
This process right here, it's kind of slow, but I can see how they started when they did it in Laos and how my parents grew up into doing this. So
have kind of a special feeling, or does it just feel totally foreign because it's something you didn't do?
Yeah. Because I come here like thinking like we're going to use a machine and all that, but then we're going to do this one by hand. So I get to know how they felt when they were doing it by hand back in Laos.
So have you tried it yourself?
Yes, I've tried. It's kind of...
How's it feel?
Slimy. Really slimy. I'm not really good at it, but I'm slowly learning.
Vang is studying film and video production, but says when he can, he helps his parents, who sell at Fondi. He finds this rice planting experience, slimy or not, moving.
It is hard, but it's a little bit rewarding too, because you have to get to see them, because like I said, my parents own a lot over there, so I usually help them. So I can probably come down here and see how the rice are doing.
Michael Schlappi looks on and smiles as Vang and his brothers assist the women. They're beginning to take ownership of their section of paddy.
The section they're standing in right now, it's really wet. And they kept complaining that it's not leveled, the field is not leveled enough. But now I see them hacking, you know, they use a hack to, or a hoe to take pieces from the berm and push it into the section that's not flat enough. So they're taking matters in their own hand to make flatness out. I think they want to win the context in terms of yield, which they might, you know.
That wasn't Schlappi's original position. He thought machine planted would conquer. Altogether, 250,000 seedlings were nested into the soggy earth. And Schlappi says if all goes well, it could yield a couple thousand pounds of rice. We'll let you know how that turns out. For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.
You can learn more about the Marquette University Rice Production Program, as well as hear all of our full plate segments at WUWM.com.